Dude, I literally was thinking about Kyle Whittingham in the shower.
You said I was just thinking about Kyle Whittingham in the shower.
Yeah, while I was in the shower, I was thinking about Kyle Whittingham.
My God, dude. Who is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, front, left, right, back again. Who is it?
That's crazy, dude. That's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot. And if my computer just starts smoking, I'm not going to be surprised. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are listening to the Subway Domer podcast. Subway Domer's got a little bit of news for your ass right now, right here. Talk to me about Her Loyal Sons, Josh.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about Kyle Whittingham in the shower.
No.
I am officially right now on Her Loyal Sons, mainly because I was not going to spend another moment dedicating something to something that was fucking me out of money and was building something towards nothing. Blog went and completely stole my shit. So I had to say peace, adios.
Well, that's unfortunate, I guess. And it's unfortunate for them. Are you happy? Are you happy to be on HLS? And what's funny is when you retired, Superman, Touchdown Jesus, Philly Kelly, myself, and my brother, all got basically willed in your blog retirement ship will to Her Loyal Son. So we did Her Loyal podcast. Philly Kelly cranked out some graphics. Anybody that's been paying attention this year sees Superman TDJ cranking out the highlight videos, and now you're there, which is interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean it's interesting, and then it's not really that interesting. I mean I've been good friends with everyone over at HLS for years, and that was the only logical place to place displaced staffers to begin with, and then it was the obvious logical move for me if I was going to be somewhere else at this given time. I won't say anything more.
Fair enough. So what is the purpose of your call this evening? Do you want to talk about Clemson, or what's the scoop here?
Well, yeah, we can talk about Clemson. I mean, it's better than talking about Cal Whittingham and George O'Leary in the shower.
God, dude, I'm gonna be get sick.
It was a twisted 15 minutes, and then I got your text, so it got cut short.
It sounds like it, man. So, you know, I mean, Georgia Tech didn't live up to
I'll stop you right there. Georgia Tech didn't live up to the expectations because they lost two games, one to us and one to a team that beat them last year.
I'm not even talking about Duke.
I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that.
No, like,
I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia Tech wipes their ass and wins out
right,
the season.
Hey, let's go back. Let's start all the way at the beginning. Texas rolled over, okay? Texas, yeah. when that game was scheduled, I thought that was very scary. I was like, man, this is Texas. This is a hell of an opener. That's big boy football. They rolled over. They died. Yeah. No big deal.
And they keep finding ways to lose games.
Whatever.
Creative ways.
They'll get it turned around eventually. But they, you know, for all intents and purposes this year,
for this year it's lost.
They rolled over and died. Virginia, you know, a little squirrely at times, but you know, Notre Dame was obviously the most talented team. They won. Georgia Tech just didn't live. I'm not that they didn't live up to the hype, but Notre Dame just had such a good game plan that they shut them down. They locked them down, and then UMass was a complete blowout. So here we are. We're playing Clemson, and let's be honest, Clemson's played. If you think our schedule is cupcakes, which I don't think it is, but if you think that Notre Dame's schedule is a bunch of cupcakes, they played Wofford, App State, and Louisville, who's relatively decent, but just not quite on point yet this year. So
yeah, they played three games.
Three games. What did I say, four?
No. Okay. I'm just reiterating.
Yeah, Wofford, App State, Louisville. Yeah. Nah, you know, so now they're undefeated. We're undefeated. Seems to set up well. Clemson thinks that Notre Dame's going to be scared, apparently, I guess, that they touch a rock and run down a hill.
I've never heard more talk about atmosphere in my freaking life. It's like, it should be, I'm amazed. I had to go back and look. Like, Clemson ever lose a game at home? Because you would, I mean, I'd be shocked to find that out, that they have lost a game there before, according to everybody this week about how serious of a place that is.
Well,
like, it's any it's astronomically bigger than any other place Notre Dame's ever played at before.
Well, yeah, I think what's more like they think that Notre Dame is going to be really intimidated by the circumstances of the game. And hey, let's be honest.
My thing is, Notre Dame, of all the things that I am never worried about, and I don't give a shit if we're horrible, you know, like in a horrible season. Notre Dame is not a team that will ever be intimidated by any atmosphere ever. There's never a moment too big for them. Even in the championship game, I didn't really think that it was the moment, other than you had guys pissing down their legs for other various reasons. But, I mean, Clemson's a cool place. It's not, to me, I wouldn't say it's an intimidating place. I mean, the color orange is awesome. I mean, that's a cool color to have on uniforms.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's almost Halloween, dude. Cool, orange is great.
Hot co-eds is cool. You know, I mean, that's cool. I wouldn't consider any of that shit intimidating. You know, it's not like the other Death Valley, or the really real Death Valley, where there's a freaking tiger sitting right there. Like a real freaking tiger. You know, where there is drunk bayou people raised from the swamp there, who would just assume cut your throat and take out your larynx to put in their new, you know, pot of jumbo.
Hey, listen, man, I watch Swamp People. I know what they're about. But there's no TV show about Clemson.
No, there is no TV show about Clemson. There is, however, a TV show about Notre Dame right now.
There is.
And I will say this. I'll do a little sidebar here. I don't think there will never be a season. I don't think that we'll ever see have an in-depth look as what we're getting this season, you know, with all the coverage that goes on. I wrote something about it a few weeks ago, and I think it's going to be, I mean, really, if you want to get philosophical, I mean, it's really an awesome thing to see everything that goes on with this team. So if you're a Notre Dame fan, you could just be totally immersed this season. I mean, just in it. And right now, the in it is good because we're winning. You know, but we've never had this in-depth coverage, you know, where everything. I mean, nobody knew how Jerron Jones got hurt. And, you know, then you see that clip on the Showtime thing, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, epiphany. You know, just all the little things. And it's kind of the makings of a good drama where, you know, people that don't like Notre Dame necessarily at all, if they would watch it, maybe they're turning around and realizing that, oh, these kids are not evil, you know. I got, you know, you can reach out your heart, you know, to Malik Zaire after an incident like that. So, no, we have our own TV show. Clemson has Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah. Old Dabo.
And his, you know, his stand-up routine.
Would you say Dabo or Dabo? And as a follow-up, which one?
Would it depend on the time of day?
It could be. Which one sounds more manly to you?
Is there a way?
I mean,
to make that sound manly?
I mean, let's be honest. It shares three letters as Debo. And if you said Debo, most people would be like, yeah, that's a pretty intimidating person. Dabo. Yeah,
you're like, he's trying to, like, I'm sick right now. Like, I could use a Dabo.
Yeah, I need a Dabo.
You know, you can dab my nose.
Yeah, exactly. Can somebody give me a little Dabo here? I got a little sniffle.
I mean, is that his real name? I guess I've never really cared to even know. Is that like, or is that like a,
if a play on if a I name had to
his?
Guess,
is his real name like Cletus?
No, if I had to guess,
or
his
Clyde, or
his
or
real name would be Daryl Bow. His real
right
name
now.
Is probably Daryl Bow, and they shorten it to Dabo.
Maybe his name's Clarence. I don't know. I don't know what it is with C names and Dabo, but makes sense. CD.
Well, what do you think's going to happen in this game, dude? I mean, do you have a read on this? Do you have a prognostication? Do you want to go on record? Millions of people are going to be listening to this, so...
Literally millions of people.
Don't give me a shitty take. Give me something real.
All right. Something real. All right. the beginning of the week, I probably would have said something like 31-24, you know, and in that thinking, just kind of a back and forth game a little bit, you know, disregarding anything that really happens. It's something that comes down in the last few minutes, not necessarily the last minute, but last 5 to 7 minutes, you know, there's some mad drama about the score. But, you know, paying attention to the weather as we do and seeing there are some conditions, I'm not too sure. Does Clemson have a real running game?
I mean, they.
I don't ever really pay attention to Clemson's running game per se right now. As a, you know, they could toss the ball around a little bit.
Here's what I do know: they're running the ball for 100 less yards a game than Notre Dame is. Does that mean anything?
And against total cupcakes.
Against, yeah, absolute cream puffs.
So I'm kind of looking at this as like a mutter type of a game. And all of a sudden Notre Dame has a running attack. You know, the voices have been heard, and we are running the football apparently. So I just kind of think they have a little bit of an edge there with where offensive line plays and with the running game. And, you know, you might, maybe now you're looking at more like a 21-14 game. I mean, just like a straight up, little bit lower score, no field goals because the field's just too horrible, or our freshman kicker will miss a couple. I'm here in silence. Are you listening to this?
Crickets. Yep.
Crickets.
Yep.
So So I'm kind of looking more along those lines. I would not be shocked if Notre Dame absolutely just handed them a huge ass whooping.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if we laid an egg, though, which is, different from what I would see maybe four years ago. I don't think they will. I think Brian Kelly has basically beaten that out of this team for the most part. I mean, the USC and game last year, I think was about one of the few times we're going to see that in the years left with Brian Kelly. But anyways, I see him showing up ready to play. I think this team plays with a lot of fire. I don't think the environment's going to be so intimidating that Joe Schmidt and Jalen Smith are going to be, you know, worried about the fans coming on the field instead of making a tackle. I mean, I just think it's going to be a pretty straight up game for the most part, but it's going to depend upon the weather. And can we rely on the run game? And I think we can, and let's just see if they do it.
Do you think that this game will be as epic as Florida State Notre Dame last year?
Do I think we'll get hosed? No. there's definitely the possibility of such a happening. It's not as big as a moment as that game is, or a game was last year. I think that was definitely a much bigger moment as far as storylines go and nationally goes. It's got a chance. I mean, it definitely could. I think if it's a good game on both sides of the ball, you know, maybe a controversial call here and there. I mean, you definitely have all the makings of a giant shit storm. I can't see either team tanking the way Notre Dame did for the rest of the season, depending upon a loss. I mean, I don't see Clemson tanking for the rest of the season if they lose, or Notre Dame, or vice versa with Notre Dame.
What's more likely, Notre Dame wins this game by 20-plus or Clemson wins this game by 20-plus?
Oh, I think it's more likely that we would win by 20-plus than Clemson. I don't think the capability would be there for them to win by 20-plus. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to win by 20-plus, but I think it was more likely that we would as opposed to Clemson doing it. I mean, I just don't think that's the kind of game that's going to turn out to be one way or the other.
Here's my personal feeling. Nothing would make me happier than seeing torrential rain, the field in absolute shambles, and this just turning into an absolute slugfest, punch out in the trenches, and go down to running game. That would make me the happiest. I think limit what Kizer needs to do. take their quarterback out of the equation and just boil it down to who's got the biggest boys up front and who's got the best running game. And I think it's a guaranteed Notre Dame win in that circumstance.
I'm thinking you said that better in five sentences than I did in 3 minutes of speaking. That's basically what I'm the exact same thing.
That's why I got my own radio show, dude. I'm on point.
And that's why I don't.
No, I mean, I hope for nothing more than just an absolute piss rain the entire day. They're on regular natural grass, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to see sod chunks coming out and, you know, nobody getting traction except for Quentin Nelson pulling and just obliterating an outside linebacker while ProSize goes for 15. That would be great.
Yeah, basically everything outside of or south of the Ohio River is probably natural grass, I would imagine. But, yeah, I mean, that's my thinking. We got three running backs. The only thing that I thought about this a couple weeks ago is I used the word mutter, and I just remember a running back. I think he's actually he was a Hurricane, but he played for Green Bay. His name was Edgar Bennett, running back, and they always used the term mutter with him because they would just feed him the football in crap weather. And he would get, you know, like 110, 112 yards. But, you know, he'd get home like 30 carries. And he was just a workhorse inside the mud. And I started thinking about Torian Falston. Like, Falston is a mutter to me. I mean, I think he is every bit of a mutter. So to have a back like that, I would feel a little more comfortable. Although ProSize, don't get me wrong, ProSize has been incredible. I am kind of a little bit worried about his ability, you know, with some sloppy fields. It's minimal, but it's a little bit of worry.
Who's a better coach, Sweeney or Kelly?
What has Sweeney done?
I think they've won 10 games for like six consecutive seasons or something like that.
Does that stat matter? I mean, I don't.
It would do a Nebraska fan.
The schedule offered them.
But I don't know. They play at ACC. They play basically the same schedule we do now, right?
Really? Notre Dame plays Wofford? Seems like Wofford?
Well, they play ACC. Every year. I mean, we play UMass, dude. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, we can be honest. I'm just – I mean, it's respectable. I just don't know what – just like when everyone props up Stanford, like that's the golden mean for Notre Dame. Like, I don't know why Irish fans do that. They always prop up Stanford. I'm like, what exactly have they fucking won for you to want that? I mean, if the goal at ND is, you know, all or nothing, I mean, why is the goal? Why are you looking at Stanford, or, you know, as the program to emulate? Sweeney's a good football coach. I'm not going to bullshit, but is he better than Brian Kelly? I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I think Kelly's long and self-proclaimed, you know, history is, he's probably got a little more up there, but, I mean, I don't know. He's not a flop, you know. Is he better than Brian Kelly? I'd say no. I guess I will say no, but, I don't think he's a bad head coach. I mean, just whatever. I mean, that's a whatever.
Do you think that, since we're talking about Kelly, do you feel like his time's coming to an end at Notre Dame, or do you think he's going to be around for many, many years to come?
I don't think it's coming to an end, but I don't think many years to come is the right phrase to use either. I really don't think he's going anywhere. The gut feeling or whatnot, I just don't see anything coming out of that. I mean, I see maybe another 4 or 5 years at Notre Dame, and then that's it. I mean, and, you know, then it's moving on to whatever's next, but I don't think it'll be, you know, a coaching job. If it is, it'll be a couple of years after he'd be done with ND. I don't see him bouncing to somewhere. And obviously it wouldn't be anything collegiate, but bouncing to the pros, I think that's not going to happen now.
You think that's off the table?
I think for him it might be right now. Yeah, I think maybe he and I have a feeling that he has made that own personal choice that that's not what he wants to do anymore. You know, or not anymore, but that's not what he wants to do.
I hope so. I hope so.
So if that's off the table, what else is there other than to leave for another program? And,
well, that, yeah.
And honestly, I can't see him doing that.
No, that's
not
going to
happen.
He's
been a ladder climber his whole career, but it took a long time to climb that ladder. And I don't think there's anywhere else he'd go to feel any more satisfaction than what he's getting out right now.
Except the NFL. I mean, that's what specifically what I was referring to. We talked in our show, the show we do for the post game, and we talked about it after the UMass game, Indy Fan Radio, for anybody that's unaware. I kind of see the writing on the wall that at some point this season, Notre Dame fans, it just seems like it's inevitable that they're going to be calling for Wimbush to be starting over Kizer. Do you see that, or am I way off base?
No, I think you're dead on. I think there's going to be it might just happen this Saturday, but I definitely feel that that's going to happen at some point. And I'm even more mystified of what's going to happen this next spring, but I guess we'll just leave that, you know, for when that happens. But it's definitely going to happen this year, I think. Just because Kizer is a good quarterback, but he's not like superstar right now. So he's going to have some moments that are going to make people, you know, want to put holes in their walls. And those are the moments when you're calling for the guy behind him.
Do you think ProSize goes pro after this year?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even have any logic one way or the other for that. I have no idea how important a degree is to him. I have no idea what his draft status would be. And if it's I would think that his draft status would be pretty high because he's a jack of all. I mean, he's a proven receiver, proven running back. That kind of player would play well in the NFL. So maybe he does, yeah.
My cousin called me today and told me that he thought the defensive line was really underperforming this year. And
they're overperforming.
That's what I thought, too. I thought the defensive line has actually been a very pleasant surprise. Now, maybe it was because my expectations were low. I don't know. But I thought, like, the D-line has really, really been playing nice. Sounds like you're kind of more in the camp of...
Yeah, your cousin, per normal, is crazy.
He's been spot on about a lot of stuff. I mean, you know.
He's crazy about this. Isaac Rochelle and Sheldon Day, outside of the UMass game, have played damn near every snap. And they've been amazing. And then you just throw in guys like, you know, like the freshman, Terry Guillory. And, you know, you've been getting some quality snaps. I think the line has been playing lights out. I don't think they've been getting enough edge pressure that they like. But they do enough things with their blitzes where they don't necessarily need to do that. And I love watching guys. I love watching some of the zone blitzes. I just like watching those big-ass guys, you know, move out to cover in the zone.
Rate the defensive backfield for Notre Dame this year. One being... I don't know. Pick somebody. Clifford Jefferson.
Maybe you should go with grades.
Gary Gray.
Like letter grades.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's one. And 10 being whatever. Darrell Revis, Honey Badger, somebody awesome. Where does the defensive backfield sit for you this year so far?
A four? Maybe. I mean, they've done nothing spectacular. I mean, there's never been there. It really hasn't been any moments of spectacularness. And they've had some definite moments of what the hell is going on, but they're not so poor where I'm thinking about like Notre Dame defensive backfield, like 2004, you know,
why do you think that is? Is that Van Gorder's scheme? Is it Todd Light? Is it,
I think it's a mixture of scheme and a mixture of guys that just really aren't that good. I mean, I think Kavari Russell's got a lot of rust on him.
I mean, but Josh, think about this. We're talking about Kavari Russell, Cole Luke, Elijah Shumate, Max Redfield.
Yeah, I know. And for us, those are big names. But, I mean, if we step back for a moment and really take a look at him, Max Redfield, we've known, has had problems, you know, since last year. Kavari Russell is coming off of not playing for a year, so he obviously has some rust. Cole Luke at times last year looked great, and at times last year he had moments where he was getting picked on left and right. It was actually you know, he's a streaky player. If you could, you know, if you could call a corner a, you know, a streaker, Cole Luke's kind of a streaky player, so maybe he steps it up. But I mean, they just haven't been great. They've played well at times, but there's obvious moments, you know. And you're right, this, you know, the scheme doesn't help out sometimes, but you know, good players rise above a scheme, you know, at this level, and just not seeing that right now.
Notre Dame will lose to Clemson if blank.
Turn the ball over. I mean, let's get cliche with it. I mean, if you start to turn the ball over in these type of games, you can lose your grip real fast on what's going on. And if Notre Dame turns the ball over and then gets down, especially in a weather like this, I mean, you know Kelly's going to get away from running the football. It's going to be starting to chuck a little bit more. And if I see one more Kaiser pass to the left that hits the ground, I'm probably going to lose it. So,
do you think if Notre Dame gets down a little bit, if they've got some turnovers, let's call them interceptions, Kaiser throws a couple in the dirt, what probability would you put on Wimbush getting put in?
Well, I do definitely think that there is the hook factor as increased this week. But I think it's more – I think Kelly is treating Kaiser more like Tommy Rees than treating Kaiser like Everett Golson. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot more slack there. I think there's a lot more patience there. But, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, if he shows some incompetence – you know, on a couple of different, you know, it just depends on what color Kelly ends up turning. You know, it just depends on how pissed off are you going to make Brian Kelly. You know, if you lose it, you know, if he's just about ready to murder somebody over there, he's probably going to get hooked. You know, it's not going to be a question now. He's going to go to a guy that he's going to give him something else other than what Kaiser's giving him. You know what I mean? So he'll go to Wimbush to try something else out. Maybe he won't have a heart attack over that.
Notre Dame,
but I mean, I really do see it playing out more like the Tommy Rees situation, where, you know, in 2011, in 2010, where you just kind of stuck with him. You know what I mean?
Notre Dame will outrush Clemson in this game. True or false?
True.
Yeah, I think so. I freaking hope so.
I don't think it'll be close. At the end of the game, of the comparison wise, I think it'll be a vast difference.
Well, yeah, no, I think you're probably right. I mean, Notre Dame's averaging 100 more rushing yards a game, and Clemson's played Wofford, Appy State, and Louisville. I mean, God, you know, if they can't run the ball, let me ask you this. So they played on a Thursday night, then they had a bye week. So they've got, I don't know, whatever it is, like,
over 2 weeks.
Yeah, over, okay, right. 17 days or something. Is that an advantage to Clemson, or are they going to be rusty?
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering the same thing. You can see it work both ways, couldn't you? I mean, could you see all that time to prep, and even the change with quarterbacks, it gives them all this time to get ready for it. But at the same time, you can sit there and say, you know, but they're not seeing any game action. You know, you're losing your competitive – your seasonal competitive juices, or maybe that they're just chopping at the bit to get out there. But I kind of leaning more towards, I think you're going to see it more rusty than anything else. I think they'll be prepared for Notre Dame, as prepared as they've ever been for an opponent. But the thing is, and all you run the ball freaks are going to love this, it doesn't matter really how well you prepare for somebody. If they can run the ball, if you can get your linemen to knock people's dicks in the dirt, it doesn't really matter if you know that it's coming your way. You know what I mean?
Let me throw a stat at you. Clemson is allowing 100% red zone scoring percentage to their opponents.
That's a great stat.
100% scoring percentage to their opponents. How the hell is that happening to the shitbags that they've played so far?
Well, they're randomly just getting over there at one or two times a game, and then they're going to score.
Do you think that's meaningful to Notre Dame, a team who's scoring 81.25% in the red zone?
I think it is meaningful because of who Clemson has played. I mean, they haven't played anybody at worth. They don't know how to play. They don't know how to play. I mean, right now, this team, this year's Clemson team, hasn't played anybody that's worth a shit inside the red zone. You know what I mean? And that's a place where it's a confidence kind of a thing. You know, there's some swagger about playing in the red zone, both on both sides of the ball, where they haven't been tested at all in there. So, you know, it means a little bit.
Well, and Brett Venables is a pretty damn good DC, if you ask me. I mean,
don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like these guys aren't going to be prepared.
No, that really sticks out to me. I mean, one could argue that he's a better defensive coordinator than Wayne Gorder, but you know. I
think one would argue and would probably win that argument.
Yeah, right. I'm curious to see how it goes. I mean, missing field goals is not good. What's your assessment of Yoon? Is it just he's a young kid and he's missed a few kicks so far, or is this a major issue?
are we really talking special teams kicking right now?
Yes.
Outside of just bringing the other kicker?
Well, do you want to end the show, or do you want to talk about
it? Shitholds. You know, I mean, there's been some shitholds on a couple of those kicks. He looks like the kind of kicker that absolutely needs everything exact. Like, he is a freaking machine, but it's a very delicate machine. You know, he's just a wee lad anyways. But he's not, you know, he's not one of those – I don't think he's one of those gamer kickers that can, you know, rise above. I think he's just a straight-up machine. You know, here's a list of the yardage – and the area he wants to be in, and he can do it, but it's got to be exact. And I think he's still a freshman.
Now, he's a technician, and if there's any variance, if you're off by 0.0001 inches, then
yeah, and that's something he's just gonna have to learn. But he's just a freshman, so I mean, that's stuff that hopefully you would think he could be able to adjust to in time. But as of right now, he's just looking to I want to say sleepwalk, because it's a bad way to describe it, but basically, you know, be a robot. To do the job.
We were merely freshmen. Was that a good song, or was that the worst song ever made?
It was a horrible song. It actually reminds me of my freshman year in college.
Who sang that? Verve Pipe?
Yeah, you would hear it in a couple of different dorm rooms, like going on at the same time, and it was like Michigan people. It's a Michigan band. It's it's a horrible song.
What
about horrible things?
What would be an appropriate genre and time period specific song that would be dramatically better than that?
Oh, right now, dude, like anything pop punk. I'm so back rolling back into the early 2000s of pop punk. It's ridiculous right now. Which is a fun thing. You know?
Have you softened on your Icona Pop Swedish transvestite music for your kids?
A little bit. I think losing the summer. I think that was a kind of a summer thing. You know, me and the, you know, like my daughter. You know, we're ready to go get in the pool. Let's blast some Swedish pop. Or, you know, going up to the beach. But yeah, it's cooled a little bit, I'd say.
Regardless of outcome in this game, what one thing do you want to reinforce to Notre Dame fans that despite the outcome, please don't forget blank?
That there are still seven games left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, seven games left. Something I thought
now,
about.
Real teams have eight games left, but yeah, seven.
Yeah. Something I thought about today that I just can't shake. For some reason or another, I've been listening to a ton of podcasts, and I throw in the ESPN one when I try to take a nap at work.
Wow. You know, ringing endorsement.
Yes, very big ringing endorsement. And I cannot get over Heather Dinich. She sounds absolutely baked 24/7. And it's not because of her ideas are like out there, man. But it's just the way she says everything. She is like the ultimate stoner on a podcast. And it's just everything that comes out of her mouth. It sounds like, man, she just choked out a big blunt and then, you know, a couple donuts, and then she showed up on this podcast. But it's people like her right now that I'm basically disgusted with. There is so much talk, and this is everyone's fault for wanting it so much, but of the best four teams, the playoff, 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 playoff. everything, even the games. Okay, Notre Dame game day. ESPN is having game day at Notre Dame Clemson. All right, and every bit of talk about this game, I would say, let's like 95% of it is based upon either their schedule up to now, or what possibly might come of their schedule after this game. It has almost zero to do with the actual fucking game itself. And you're finding that every week, that is the narrative around the sport, is the end result for every team. It has nothing to do with the game, which is what takes away from, I mean, college football should be about the game. I mean, the NFL is like, you don't hear everyone talking about playoffs in week five.
Playoffs?
Of the, you know, of the NFL. Well, they literally will talk about the game. No, and I can't believe I'm actually thinking that something is better in the NFL as opposed to college football. But that part is. I mean, it's fun to project all these things. But Jesus, you know, I mean, let some things simmer down. And everyone's ideas about, you know, who's in your top four and who's not, who's good, who's bad, especially in September, is as meaningless as any poll that we've ever had. So, you know, these are the same people that have bashed, you know, like preseason polls. Well, stop talking about, you know, the end of November. You have no freaking idea. And to me, it's ruining the narrative of the season itself, as opposed, you know, it's because that's what the driving narrative is. And we all realize that the end result is the playoffs and the championship. But along the way, college football provides a ton of moments that you need to really take it, and everything, all that's just getting bypassed.
So
screw Heather Dinich, man.
I've never heard her before, so I can't.
Oh, go back, go listen to all the ESPN Drive podcasts. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, whatever, dude. If you took down, you took down. Good for you. But, yeah. Dude, she sounds absolutely ripped every time. She's like, man, blah. And she is an IU grad. So she might just be severely hammered every time she's on a podcast. So
Bloomington, come on. All right. So we're talking about college. We're talking about B-Town. We're talking about hippie podcast chick or whatever.
Showers with Kyle Whittingham.
What's the worst beer you've ever drank in your life?
The worst beer I've ever drank in my life? O'Doul's? Does that count as the worst?
It's not alcohol. A near beer? It's not really a beer, no. Have you ever had Hams?
Yes, I like Hams.
Have you ever had...
I've had Hams Light.
Have you... I didn't know there was such a thing.
There actually is.
Have you
drank that in high school a few times?
Have you ever had Wiedemann's?
No.
Have you ever had Drummond Brothers?
No.
Have you ever had Olympia?
Olympia?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you know... if you know, I'll give you $1 right now if you know Olympia's slogan as a beer.
Oh, I will not get that dollar. I have no idea.
It's the water.
The water.
That's their slogan. Olympia. It's the water. All right.
I remember having that in college one time, and I didn't really think too much of it. And I was a big Minnesota's brew drinker back in college, because in Michigan you could walk out with a case. That's including it with for like $9.95 or some shit. Yeah. That's including your $2.40 deposit.
Yeah.
Jesse the Body Ventura was a big advertiser of Minnesota's brew, and Pig's Eye Pilsner was the other brand of that. It was like a dual action coming at you.
I'd try that. I'd try it. All right, listen, man. My buzz is wearing off here. I'm running thin. What do people need to remember here about this Clemson thing? What's the key? I mean, what's the Subway Domer hot take going into Clemson?
The key to this game is just to play the football that we've been playing this year, which seems to be working. And that's a running game. You know, good offensive line play. Great defensive line play, despite your cousin's thoughts. And just go in there like you own the place and do it. I mean, we're not talking about some crazy, you know, Road Warriors freaking place. I mean, it's just Clemson, man. It's just Clemson. You can do this.
Do you feel fully confident that this stage is not too big for Notre Dame? They will not shy away from the spotlights, and if anything, Clemson's actually the one that's a little intimidated by the whole environment?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think there's some reverse psychology going on for sure.
Yeah, I kind of think that they might actually be too hype for this game.
There's a whole lot of faux outrage going on, but as pointed out by Noon's Magician, the fantastic Syracuse blogger, this is not the first time. He had showed some evidence of the same kind of faux outrage about Syracuse. It's just Clemson being Clemson, man. You know, why they want to – there's so much disrespect going their way. There's nothing disrespectful about it. To take a tweet that says I'm going to go a savage, which technically means I want to go play my ass off and go crazy. I'm pumped for this game. Like, oh, man, he's talking shit about my grandma.
I mean, is that I've been off Twitter for like 2 days. Is that what's going on now?
That's what's going on. Okay. I mean, that, all right. Yeah, the freak, curses. Was that his son or nephew or whatever? He lost his mind over it. He's like, oh, we gonna get Chippy.
Yeah.
Gonna get Chippy in here. Yeah. Just.
And what positions he play? D line.
Corner.
Cornerback.
Yeah, quarter.
Oh, dude, I hope that dude.
He's taking Will Fuller out.
I hope that dude meets Tyler Luatua on a.
Is Luatua cleared to play?
I think so. I think so. I hope so. I freaking hope so.
I know. When I at first heard about his concussion, the first person I was going to send condolences to was you.
I got probably 10 of them on Twitter. People like, hey, man, Titans, sorry for your loss. I mean, it was just, that's reaffirming to me, though, that I'm telling you, there is no bigger fan of Tyler Luatua's game than me ever.
That's fantastic.
Since day one. You know, I mean, I the only jersey I've ever owned, let me back that up. Somebody gave me a number 3 jersey as a wedding present, which I think at the time was Darius Walker. Pretty sure.
What year did you get married?
2005.
Oh, yeah. I was Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't actually purchase that. My wife bought me a Golden Tate jersey for Christmas in 2009.
She get it at Marshall's?
I don't know. But she gave it to me the day before the Hawaii Bowl. Which was pretty fucking cool.
Golden showers.
Yeah. I'm not a big jersey guy. I've never actually spent my own American dollars on one.
I have 3 of them hanging up right now.
But if I did buy one, it would be a Luatua jersey, without a question.
I'd buy Mathias Farley for sure.
Well, he's people's champ.
He is the people's champ, and I keep watching him. And I keep getting prouder.
You know what's funny? I mean, in his tip, that little tip against UMass was a hell of a play, heady play. It's funny that he doesn't start in front of Redfield, but one could argue that he's probably actually playing better than Redfield this year.
You know,
it's not a stretch.
Well, me with Farley, it's just like the people's champion thing. It's not necessarily an on-the-field thing. It's other things. You know, dreadlocks or whatnot.
Well, they made the guy a captain. I mean, all that. But
here's my quick point. And that is a great thing that we have the Showtime thing. When you watched, after the Georgia Tech game, the game that, you know, Trenkel got hurt, you know, and Farley comes in for him, it was pretty amazing to watch two people having to keep Farley, like, calm after the game. He was that upset about Tranquil. You can see it in the corner. I mean, I was kind of – he's sitting there just bawling. So, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, just a stud all the way around, a captain. There's your guy.
What's what kind of music you riding out to here, champion?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I keep thinking about Outkast.
I thought you were going to say I keep thinking about Kyle Whittingham.
We're going in the South a little bit, and probably either something from Outkast or something 3-6 Mafia. Just something South.
Wow.
Just let them know what we're about to take this thing.
Well, I mean, we could go 2 Dope Boys in a Cadillac. We can go sipping on some Scissorp. I mean, what? All right, Josh, that's it, man. I got to call. Right, I got to call tonight. The Subway Domer podcast with your emperor, the Subway Domer. I am Irish Tightness. Check it out on Her Loyal Sons. Right, that's where this is.
Yeah.
Is now,
yeah,
destined.
New address.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we love those guys. Hope to hear everybody post game on Indy Fan Radio, and thanks for listening.
Holla.
All right.
Ain't nobody